Frequently throughout the Gospels, Jesus will talk about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And to explain what the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is like, that rather than giving us a profound theological discourse with highfalutin academic language to try and capture this profound mystery of what the kingdom of God is, instead, he gives us an image. And gives us several images and parables throughout the Gospels. But he gives us an image that we can chew on and sit with, a tangible thing to help us meditate on this profound mystery that's beyond our grasp of what is the kingdom of God. And so today, one image he gives us. What is the kingdom of God like? To what can we compare the kingdom of God? It is like a mustard seed. Now, for those of you who have never seen a mustard seed is even smaller than a poppy seed. If you're familiar with poppy seeds, like lemon poppy seed bread. It's a seed smaller even than that. And it grows to, what in our standards would be a small tree, but a significantly large plant, taller than a person, 6 to 10 feet tall, and then it grows out very, very wide with many branches, at least this particular mustard that he's talking about. And around here, we have tons of trees around, so it doesn't seem like that significant size of a tree to us. But you also have to understand, in Israel, being a more desert climate and a very rocky place, they do not have trees all around like we do here. So for them, that was a significant tree, and especially that they grew pretty common along the roadside. So as they were traveling, it was a great tree to stop under for shade. And because of its wide branches, many birds would come and settle in it. So it's the smallest of trees to the largest of plants. This profound mystery that this tiny thing could become this large, abundant tree that provides shade and protection from the sun and a home for many birds. So this is what the kingdom of God is like, Jesus says. That little seed that's planted in that grows into something so much more. So that mystery, I want to talk about that aspect of the kingdom of God, this mustard seed of the kingdom of God, in two aspects. First of all, the way that that mustard seed of the kingdom of God has unfolded over the centuries. And secondly, of course, how it bears on us as individuals today, as persons today. First of all, looking back over the centuries, from the time of Christ, that our faith, the deposit of faith, we call it, the revelation of Jesus Christ, of who he is, who God is, and the church that he instituted and the scriptures he gave us that was passed down over time, it began with the one person of Jesus Christ and 12 disciples. And obviously now has spread to a worldwide church, a universal church, a Catholic church. That's what the word Catholic means. It's universal, international, over and across the world. But you will encounter out in the world, there are some people who say the world would have been a lot better off if we just got rid of religion or didn't have religion. Because they'll say, look at all these wars that were caused by religion, especially Christianity. Look at the Crusades, the Inquisition, all the religious wars during the Protestant Reformation. And look at all these wars that are caused by religion. And wouldn't the world be a peaceful place if we just got rid of religion? The lead singer of the Beatles, John Lennon, had a song, Imagine. And in that words, he says, imagine no religion. Wouldn't the world be such a fantastic place if we just got rid of religion? But I think one thing they failed to see, or sort of the naive flaw in that worldview, is I think, not to be cynical, but whether you had religion or not, people were still going to be going to war about something. That the things that people still war about, over political power, worldly power, control of resources, whatever it is, you name it, people would go to war about. So certainly throughout history, people did terrible things in the name of religion or in the name of the church, even in the name of Christianity. But if it wasn't Christianity or religion, it would have been whatever else was dominant at the time that they would have done these things in the name of. So that I don't think it's Christianity that was the cause of war. But let's imagine for a moment, if you did take away, if we could rewind time and say, Jesus never came and there was never any Christianity. Sure, there would still be war and such, but what would the world have lost? I think if you took away that mustard seed of Christianity, that there is tremendous force of good that has happened in the world. Tremendous things that men and women all throughout the ages have done because of this mustard seed of Christianity, of the driving force of Christ in their lives and this mystery of the kingdom of God in their lives, all throughout the ages. That if you look at the history of the world through the eyes of the saints, through the stories of the saints, you'll see throughout the ages there were men and women who did tremendous, incredible, almost unbelievable things because of this force of Jesus Christ in them. That there were missionaries who gave up everything, left everything behind to go into a land of people who wanted to kill them, to share with them the love of Christ, and to love them to the end, even when these people threatened and sometimes did kill them. That you had people who served the poor throughout the ages. That when there was the great plague that swept through Europe and people were dying, and everyone, if you started getting sick, you would be cast off because people didn't want to retract your sickness. That there were so many saints who then gave their lives to being with those sick people, even at risk of receiving the disease themselves, so that the people could die with dignity and know that they were loved. That there was other saints like Saint John de Matha, who founded an order, a religious order called the Trinitarians, whose whole mission was to go to the foreign lands of the barbarian tribes and to free people's family members who had been kidnapped and sold into slavery. That these men would collect money and go to these dangerous places and offer to buy people's families and friends out of slavery into freedom. And if the barbarian tribes didn't want money, they would offer themselves in place. That they would say, well, take me as your slave and let this person return home to their family. An entire religious order who this was their mission. And of course, all throughout the ages, you also had St. Peter Claver, who served the poor slaves, that as people were kidnapping and selling people in the slave trade, he would be there to minister to the slaves, to show to the world that these people aren't lower than you, even though many people thought that these people were less than human, subhuman in some way. St. Peter Claver said, no, these people have dignity and are children, beloved children of God, just like you and I. And he ministered to them and loved them. And fast forwarding more to our modern era, during the Holocaust in a concentration camp with St. Maximilian Kolbe, a priest who, when a prisoner was going to be thrown in and locked away to be forced to starve to death, he offered himself, he said, take me in his place. This man has a family. I am a priest. Take me instead. And of course, St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who gave her life to serving the poorest of the poor in India. And these are just a few examples that all throughout the ages, we have these people who were driven by this mustard seed, who were this force of good in the world because of this mustard seed of Christianity. Peter Morin, who in the 1900s co-founded the Catholic Worker Movement along with Dorothy Day, a movement that strove to help the poor in our country, especially during the Great Depression. Peter Morin told Dorothy Day, who was a very social and political activist, he told Dorothy Day that she needed to relearn history, not according to politics, to the rise and falls of empires, but relearn history in the stories of the saints. Because as Peter Morin, driven by his own Catholic faith, he said, because these were the real movers and shakers of the world. These were the rocks and pillars throughout history. So if you want to change the world, look to these saints and see the way and the powerful ways that Christ worked through them in the world. And so that's why we as the church hold up these saints. And also then as an inspiring example, but also then for us to know in what way this mustard seed of the kingdom of God, of what it could do in your life. That sometimes we write God off too early. We say, well, God never wants to do anything with me in my life. God never wants to do anything great with me. But who are you to tell God what he does and doesn't want to do with you? That God desires to make each and every one of us into saints, to plant that mustard seed, the kingdom of God within us, to transform us, to grow into abundant fruit in the world. And that sometimes we're tempted to think, well, but look at all this mess of my life, all these terrible things I've done, this messy, dirty life of mine. But I think that's exactly why Jesus used the image of a seed. Because we take a seed and we plant it in the muddy dirt of the earth. And sometimes we throw literal crap on top of it to help it grow. What would seem like worthless waste to us, that little seed can take and draw nutrients from that. Can take the literal crap of the world and subsume it into itself to be drawn up into abundant and glorious fruit and into something so much more. And that's exactly the way the kingdom of God works in us. To take all that mess and that stuff of our life, that stuff that seems like waste, that is totally unredeemable, but by the power of this mustard seed of the kingdom of God is redeemable. That even the apparent worst things of our life, that God can take and draw up into something so much more. And to transform us into saints. That each and every one of us are called to be saints that transform the world.